Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, and welcome to today's inspiration. I'm Lisa Berry, and I'm so grateful you are taking the time to listen today. In case you haven't listened before, I'm a longtime Detroit area radio broadcaster. I still love the power and the connection of radio, and that's why BodyMindSpiritRadio.com is so special. You can listen on your phone, you can listen on your laptop, your iPad, on your PC, anywhere, anytime. Speaking of time, you are giving me the gift of your time and attention. And I want to share with you the gift of my perspective and what I've learned about life, because I really believe it all comes down to perspective. Everyone sees things differently, yet we are all one and have to live as one on this planet. You can see the things the way I do and feel the way I feel and still have whatever beliefs you were raised on or choose to believe. I come with a heart loaded with love and want to share that with you, because that's what life is all about, and I feel that's what everyone needs. Giving someone your time and attention and sharing some love is the best thing you can do for anyone. I saw a great quote this week. I think it was from Wayne Dyer. Here's the quote. It said, "Conveying to others that you're willing to listen because you value what they have to say is a way of demonstrating that you care. It's a way of being inspiring, of listening like God." I thought that was so powerful, because whether you pray or you meditate or both, it's really important to listen and pay attention to other people. That's the biggest gift you can give them. People who pray feel God is listening to them. Those who meditate, you're really listening to yourself. And for those of us who do both, we should be in great shape. We should be really cool and calm, but, you know, it's not easy. You can meditate and pray. One does not cancel out the other. It's just about going deep and connecting with the moment and what is happening in your life. And we're going to be listening to a great parenting expert in just a minute. A lot of time, what people have in a conversation, they're not really listening. They're just waiting to jump in with what they want to say next. So next time you're having a conversation, be in that moment. Focus on that person and what they're saying. And just listen and give them the gift of your love and attention, because that is the best gift you can give to anyone. One of the gifts of my life is connecting with people. And one very special person that I have connected with is a good friend and a parenting expert. Her name is Nancy Serlin. She is in the Detroit area. She does some teaching. She does special, she's best with gifted children, but she's gifted herself. And Nancy Serlin is joining us right now. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Lisa. I love what I heard so far about you saying. It connects into parenting very nicely.
Right. Well, you know, I typically try to focus on what's right going on around me, not what's wrong. But it is not difficult to see that there are a lot of problems in this world. And I think about that a lot. I think, why is this happening and where is this coming from? And I really feel that it goes back to basic lack of, for lack of a better term, family values. Or as I like to call it, it's my new mantra, it all starts at home. And I believe that, you know, every baby is a miracle, and being a parent is not an easy job. So if you're going to bring a new life into the world, and we want the world to be a better place, then we need to put some effort into that child, some nurturing and positive attention. And being a parent can mean a lot of self-sacrifice and thinking of others. And so that's why I wanted to talk to Nancy today, because she and I have a lot of conversations, and she's a lively speaker, and I'm going to let her speak. First of all, do you think being a parent requires a lot of self-sacrifice, Nancy?
I think absolutely it does, Lisa. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think today a lot of parents are not putting their kids' needs before their own. And I think something you said really rings true about listening. Many parents do not really pay attention to what their kids are saying. You have to sit down, make eye contact, and absolutely listen. Be in the moment and hear what your kids have to say. If you can't write at the moment, then tell them. Say, honey, I'm right in the middle of dinner and something important. Set a timer and say, in 5 minutes, I'll be able to sit down and listen to you and give you my full attention. And then follow through and do it.
Do you think kids want constant attention? Is that part of the problem, the challenge of being...
I think kids who want constant attention are attention addicted, which means you've either given them too much or you haven't given them enough. So they are always seeking your attention because they never get it.
So you were thinking maybe if you have that one-to-one connection, if you have that moment with them, then maybe that will satisfy them and they'll go off and be on their own a little bit.
Right. It's like coming home from, if you're working, a working parent outside the home or inside the home or both, you know, tell the child before they go to school, you know, you and mommy or you and daddy will have 20 minutes tonight that's just one-on-one with us. Think about what you want to do with our special time.
Talk about thinking about things. Do you think people, I know, I don't know if it, how it was for you, but when I was a little girl, you get a doll and you're like nurtured from the get-go to be a mom and to have a baby. And it just seemed like for some people and people who don't have kids, I really respect that decision because it's not necessarily a socially popular decision, but it's a decision that you've made for a reason. And I really respect that because once you have a kid, it's like a never-ending responsibility. Do you think people are even thinking about it? And I really want to go back to the self-sacrifice thing because it's really not about all about you anymore once you have a child. Do you think people realize that before they start having children?
No. No, I think nobody, you can't ever tell anybody how difficult it's going to be and how wonderful it's going to be until it actually happens to you. I mean, I wasn't sure I wanted kids originally, but my husband was very okay. Let's do this. And I was a teacher. I taught preschool, so I knew about children. And I'd like to say that my two sons are the best accomplishment of my entire life. They, you know, are wonderful. They turned out great. They have a sense of humor. They're independent. They're both gifted and just terrific. So for me, it turned out, and I think for most people, it's a hard thing to do. It's not easy, as you know.
How can we get the word out? How can we tell people, you know, having a baby or having a family is a big deal? You know, I don't know. I look around and I see so many problems and I really think it all starts at home. I really think it starts, you have to go back to that. You have a baby, you bring this person into the world and if they're not nurtured or taught or encouraged, then you're sending someone out in the world who's not going to make a positive contribution. And I think we need, or am I overthinking it?
No, I think that, when my partner and I taught parenting classes, we wanted to get parents in there who were pregnant. So we didn't have to undo all the mistakes they did when they came to us when their kids were 7 and 8. There's a good way of parenting. There's a right way of parenting, and there's an easier way of parenting. A lot of parents, I think, make it very difficult by themselves. They don't know how to set limits. They don't know how to enforce consequences. And they don't know about positive talking. And I know you speak a lot about positive stuff. And there's always a way to say something positively. When you think back, you hear parents say things like, if you don't finish your homework, you can't do that. Why can't you be like your brother? How come you never pick up your toys? Positive way of saying all that. Feel free to watch TV after you've done your homework. Let's go out and do something special after you've cleaned up your stuff. And so I think that's what we want to teach parents is how to be positive. There's always a positive way to say something.
See, Nancy Serlin, we need you. We need your advice because I think it's gotten worse. I think there was so many when my kids were little, we didn't have Twitter or Facebook. So I had fewer distractions. And I think, you know, if you're working, you got to take care of it. I mean, it's a lot. Believe me, I raised two beautiful children, as like Nancy said. They're my biggest accomplishment in life. But I didn't have all the distractions. So I think parents, and I'm not trying to beat up anyone or blame anyone. I get it. It's hard. It's not easy. But with more distractions, I think the focus is getting off raising children and making good citizens for the future of this planet. And I think that's something that, as Nancy was saying, positive ways to parent, things you can say to your children. Even I'm as big on, even if like a child does something wrong, saying you're a bad boy. I don't think you should ever say that. What do you think?
He's not a bad boy. He did something that you didn't care for that's unacceptable. So he has to know that he's always a good boy and you always love him. And we role model. And I think a lot of parents are not being good role modelers. Kids watch everything you do. It often doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do. When I see parents picking up their kids from nursery school on the telephone, instead of using that very valuable time to say, wow, you look like you had a good day today. So parents need to take a step back, get off these phones, get off these iPads, have more time with their children that's important, and do that stuff at another time.
Do you think children would behave better if they did get more attention from their parents? Are they acting out possibly just to get their parents' attention?
Some do if they don't get enough attention, but we also create something called attention-addicted children. This is a child whose parents over-attends to them every single second. And those kids go to school then and want the same kind of attention. And they think, well, there's 25 other kids now. How am I going to get the teacher's attention all the time? And that's when you get acting out behavior.
So what is the fine line? I mean, I guess on the other hand, kids need to learn that parents are people too, and they need a few minutes to themselves. How much?
Well, that's why I said earlier when my son would say, "Mom, I need to talk to you," and I'll say, "Honey, I just have to finish this one project I'm on. Give me 10 minutes." I actually set a timer, and when the timer rang, I put everything down. I sat. I did nothing. I didn't answer. There was nothing going on but me listening to what he had to say. And he knew when I said that I would give him my full attention.
Well, and if you would like to talk to Nancy or me or connect in this conversation, 646-378-0378 is the number. I'm sure Nancy would love to help you out. She's helped out a lot of people over the years. But going back to something that we were talking about, encouraging your kids, based on the show Today's Inspiration and all the reading and living and attention that I focus on, I have come to learn that anything is possible. You have to live from that place, that anything is possible. And a lot of the more successful people were defeated at the beginning or told no, and they kept trying. So that's my perspective. But when it comes to children, do you tell them, "Oh, you're so wonderful, you can do anything"? Is that the right thing to say, or are we setting, I don't know, you tell me from a parenting expert.
You want to be realistic. I mean, do anything or everything. We've learned that as moms, right, and as working moms. But what you want to do, there's no such thing as perfect either. So what we have to do is encourage excellence. Try your best. And that's it. That's the bottom line. So if we role model that we tried our best, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's okay to fail. We learn from that, too. But we want to encourage children, and there's nothing wrong with saying, "Wow, that's a really interesting picture." Or, "I love your colors that you put into that." Or, "What a great idea you had for that story you just wrote." There's all kinds of way of nurturing, but being realistic about it.
I love that. Encourage excellence. We're talking to Nancy Serlin. She's a Detroit area parenting expert. If you'd like to join the conversation, 646-378-0378. Nancy can handle pretty much any question, but I do like that. Encourage excellence. That is a great way to put it. And go back to a minute to the role modeling. I don't think parents realize how close attention their children are paying to them. And I know that's a lot of pressure to think, "Oh, I have to be perfect myself every minute they're watching me." But they are watching you. They are watching how you react to certain situations. They're watching a lot. And as a parent who has to live their life and work a job and clean the house and do everything else, how do you balance that?
It's not an easy thing, as you know, especially if you're working outside the house and inside the house. It's
right.
A very difficult thing to balance. So you have to set priorities. There's an interesting book called The Hurried Child, and this was an old book when my kids were younger, and my oldest is 42 now, and it changed how I parented because I realized this rushing around and, you know, pushing kids and hurrying them was not good for anybody, including me. So I had to take a step back, and you have to say to yourself, "What if I don't get that done today? What will happen? You know, is this a necessity? Is this a priority today? What are my priorities today?" And try to take a better look at what's really important in your life.
Well, you know, at the start of the show, I talked about paying attention and really being in the moment and listening to people. That's how all anyone wants, whether a child or a friend or, you know, someone door to door, they want your time and attention. They want to know that you're really dialed in and listening. And I think that's really important in all relationships. But what are some basic parenting things we need to know when we have a child? What are some just... Is it discipline? Is it encouraging excellence? Is it being their friend?
There's a lot of things involved in it. First of all, you have to love them and physically care for them appropriately. You have to catch them doing something right. That's the best thing for self-esteem. We always catch kids when they're doing something wrong. But you walk by when they're playing with their brother and give them a pat and say, "Wow, I love the way you two are playing together." Or, "I can see you tried really hard on that project." There's all different ways of catching kids when they're doing something right. "Thank you for holding the door and helping me put away the groceries." And the kids will want to repeat that behavior. I think you have to encourage excellence, strive for excellence. Perfectionism has no place in our life because perfectionism is debilitating because no one is ever perfect. So this is the kid who keeps erasing through his paper until there's a hole in it, you know, to try to keep getting that perfect answer or that perfect something, map or something. So I think we just need to love our kids and to sit back and listen to them and try to interact with them and encourage them and offer them enrichment.
Does love come naturally? I mean, I know that that's one of my biggest gifts is I always say
it's hard.
See, there you go. Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. It is hard when you're exhausted.
When you're exhausted and you're trying to do 17 things and things aren't going right and the kid's having a tantrum and, you know, it's hard. So that's the time to take a step back and take a deep breath, count to 10 in Spanish, and what do I do now? You know, what's a plan? Always have a plan B. This didn't work. What can I do to make this, you know, salvageable? And I think that we all get in situations where things don't work out right. So all of a sudden, plan B. What should it be? Always have a plan B.
And well, this is always a hot topic. Should you spank them?
Okay, I'm so glad you brought that up.
You are.
Hitting kids teaches them to hit. So we wonder why when our kids hit, when we tell them you can't hit other kids, but we have spanked them. Hitting, as far as I'm concerned, never has a place in the home. What happens when the kid gets to be 16 and you still want to hit them and they're bigger than you now? Because that's the only way you've gained any control over them. We need to use psychological means. We need to use consequences. That's what we need to do to get them to be good people.
A lot of adults will say, well, I was spanked as a kid and I'm okay.
Yeah, I wonder about that. Maybe you think you are okay, but I still disagree. That's my own philosophy. I can't tell other people what's right. But in my view, hitting is never the right answer. It means you've lost control. It means you have no other means of controlling a child and getting them to do what you want them to do but hitting them.
Yeah, that's hard to maintain. When your child is acting out or getting frustrating, it's as a parent, it's difficult to keep your own cool. You have any
right,
tips
that's
on?
Why I said count to 10 in Spanish, go in the other room, turn on the garbage disposal, take a deep breath, vacuum, do what you need to do, and then think of what in consequence you can impose. For example, if a child is acting out, I'm so sorry you're not going to be able to go to dinner with us tonight, but we're going to go to your favorite restaurant and eat your favorite food, but you're going to stay home with them. No, I'm just kidding. We will be going out without you because your behavior was not a good choice, and we don't feel we can take you tonight, but I'll bet next time we go, you'll make a better choice. And then you walk out. And you leave them with a sitter or a mother or whoever you have to watch them. And message is implied.
Right. We're talking to Nancy Serlin about positive parenting in a busy world. That's the name of our book, by the way, that it just came up with.
Well, it sounds perfect to me.
It does. You know, and one thing is, I didn't hear, you know, that you always see those posters or people write it, everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten. And really, it does start out very young. What age are we talking about that you start instilling?
Oh, kids are so smart so fast. I'm telling you, you would be surprised how manipulative little kids can be. Most kids are pretty bright. They get it right away. They know how to push every one of your buttons. So you start as early as you can, being a good role model and figuring out how you're going to do this. Read a good parenting book. Jim Fay has a wonderful parenting with Love and Logic is one of my favorites. Sylvia Rim has a lot of good parenting ideas. So, you know, do some reading. Figure out how you want to do this. Take a class if you need to, and then figure out. It will help you. I promise.
You know, I'm one of those people, I just always wanted to have kids. I wanted to have a baby, and I just wanted to love them and take care of them. Then I was shocked when I read that you're...
How hard
that,
it was.
Well, no, and you told me that you're not supposed to be, it's supposed, your job is to teach them how to live life on their own. I'm like,
right.
They're mine. I want them in my life.
Yeah, your job is to raise them to be independent, kind people, and able to earn their own living. That's your job.
And take care of me in my old age.
Of course, that goes without saying.
Right. How do you teach your child to be kind?
By modeling it. You can donate to a charity and say, I'm taking some money to the Humane Society. Will you come with me, please? We're going to see how the dogs are and see if there's anything we can do to help. You can go to a soup kitchen, you know, and donate, have the child save an allowance or something and figure out where he wants to save his money to help. There's all kinds of ways you can model that. And that's how kids learn.
Here it is summertime, and a lot of kids are home from school, and they're saying, I'm bored. And I always remember something that Nancy Serlin told me about, having your own child plan a family vacation. I thought that was a great idea. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It worked beautifully, beautifully, Lisa. We gave the kids a bunch of money, and this was a long time ago, and we said, you two, and it gets the siblings to work together, can plan a trip anywhere in the world you want that you can get on this money, but you have to figure out airfare and hotels and food and car rentals. And they did.
So it's kind of empowering your kids by learning.
Right, exactly. This empowered them that they were in charge. The same, let the kids have a garage sale of toys and books or clothes or whatever they're done with, and tell them, you know, they will pay for the ad if there is one, and they get to keep all the money they earn. So there's lots of ways to empower kids and get them, you know, to be independent and to learn about the world.
What about empowering our kids by letting them fail?
That's okay. You watch over them within reason.
Right.
You know, if we're not talking about when drugs and drinking and sex are involved and stuff. We want to make sure that we protect our kids from, you know, certain things that we can. But it's good for a child to fail because they learn how to have a plan B.
Well, you know, I know some kids who learn that, and you can tell them, you can teach them, you can show them, but until they do it themselves, and hopefully
right,
succeed,
they have to experience.
Not fail. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to experience. There was a little girl who forgot her violin, and she got an E that day in school. So her mother came to school, of course, and was all over the counselor and saying, you know, she doesn't deserve it, she forgot it, she's young, and the counselor told her, you know, there are 200 and something school days in the year, and she got one 250th at that as an E. If she remembers to take her violin from now on, isn't that a good lesson learned?
Right.
So we have to not bail our kids out if there's a good lesson to be learned. And if it's, you know, we want them to make all the mistakes they make when they're little, so it's small potatoes.
You know, either it seems like it's on both sides of the extreme spectrum. Either there's parents and they have kids and they don't care and they're busy and you're on your own, or you have parents who are writing college applications out.
You have the helicopter parents who are hovering
right.
all the time. Right.
What does
so
that do to a child?
They have no self-esteem. Their parents, there's parents who call their kids home every day from college. The teacher gave me a bad grade on the paper. The mother was irate because she'd written the paper. You're laughing, but this has happened, trust me. So we have to guide our children, nurture them, be there to help them as a safety net, but let them make their own mistakes and let them learn.
You've been doing this for a while. How has parenting changed? What have you noticed in the difference in kids and parents
well,
and families?
I think there's a lot of stuff that's changed. I think you brought up today most of the problems. One is the technology, which has taken away from civility and interaction and time together. That's a biggie. I think parents have to limit the time the kids are allowed to spend on these things because I think it's really changed them. And I think parents are not doing as good a job because they're more splintered and they're not setting the limits for kids that they should.
I think that train has left the station. I think it's time to put someone whose iPhone is their best friend. I can tell you that I love it because it's always with me. I don't have a second of boredom. I can pick it up. I can check Twitter. I can check Facebook. I can read inspirational things. I can look at pictures. It's my constant companion and entertainment, and I can connect with friends with it, and I'm always checking it to see what happens. So I admit...
Well, that's why I spent a lot less time. I don't spend a lot of time on those devices, and I do it purposely because it doesn't let me live in the moment. If
right.
you're on those stuff all the time, you're not living with what's going on around you. You're on a machine. So I refuse. My kids made me get an iPhone. My granddaughter did teach me how to use it, basically. I know how to do a few things. But I don't check it every minute, and I don't go on the computer every day. My husband will say, Nancy, you have 37 emails. it's not. I refuse to do that because I think it takes away from living my life. So
I won't
allow that.
But I tell people, if you're not on Twitter, that's how news is breaking these days. That's how you can get your weather alerts. That's, you know.
Yeah, I guess I'm missing out. I watch the TV or I'll listen to the radio. But I guess I do have an app on my phone for weather, so I can check the weather on my phone.
Woohoo!
But, yes, I'm getting into the 21st century here.
I just wonder if there's any parenting experts who have delved into how much is healthy, you know, for a kid these days. I think it's like 2 hours of screen time, but I think
there is. I think if you go online on one of your devices, I'll bet you can look that up.
And I bet you no one's following it. I think that train has left the station and there's nobody calling it back, or we don't really even know what the effects of that are going to be yet. That's one thing our kids don't realize, that this is all just changing right before our eyes. So there are some people who think, well, if you hold your cell phone too close to your head, you're going to get cancer. And there's a story that circulates of a woman who kept her cell phone in her bra and she got breast cancer. And when you show that to younger people, they go, huh, and they laugh. But technically, the cell phones haven't been around that long that we know that that is true or not yet.
I think my grandmother had it best 40, 50 years ago. She said, everything in moderation. And I think that's what we need to, as parents, maybe make that our watchword, everything in moderation.
Hmm.
And I think on that note, that would be your parenting advice.
Everything in moderation. All right,
yes.
One final question for you, Nancy Serlin.
Yes.
And if you have a question, 646-378-0378 before we end our interview. What can we say to our children to give them confidence and inner peace in a realistic way?
Now, you and I were talking. We've talked a lot about this. What I think some of the things we can do, catch them doing something right, and model quiet time, walking as a family, exercising, yoga, tai chi, meditate, listen to quiet music, read. Those are all things that are calming and peaceful, and I think that we can all role model that in our family and have quiet time in the house for a half hour. Nothing is plugged in. Everybody's going to do something quietly of their choice.
And how about together?
And I think it's always important for family to spend together time as much as they can.
So it's about making an effort, all in moderation, encourage
yes.
excellence, and
yes.
It, just be in the moment and have some time together.
Be in the moment, role, and be a good role model.
Be a good role model. Nancy Serlin,
yes.
thank you so much for joining us. If
thank
anyone
you,
wants
Lisa.
You to speak at their school, or how could they get a hold of you if you want to put that out there? Or don't
can
you?
Can they get it from you?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, you can just give them my email address and put
right.
parenting in there.
Because you are available for speaking, aren't you?
If people beg and plead, I still do that occasionally and still do an occasional consultation if people need a lot of help. Yes, I will.
All right. Nancy Serlin, thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to hear more from Nancy or get a hold of her, my email address is lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. And we thank Nancy very much for joining us. I just think parenting is so important. And I don't even know if the word parenting is in our dialogue anymore, if it's part of what we talk about, because I think people think, oh, I have a baby, and here's a rich football player, I'm going to have his baby, and I'll be taken care of, and babies, you don't need me to tell you that, it happens, but I just think once you have one, you gotta, it's so important, it's not just your baby, it's a future citizen of the United States, and it takes some effort, and it takes some love. And as Nancy and I both said, it's not that easy. I get it. Believe me, I had two sons. But it is important. You know, as much as I've been through in life and as much as I've learned, I'm still not good with change. I got an email from Rebecca who says, Dear Lisa, and you can email me at lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. Dear Lisa, I listen to your show every Wednesday morning at 10, and I really enjoy it. Thank you, Rebecca. But she said, I know change is the one thing you can count on. Everything and everyone changes. But I'm not good at dealing with it, and I have a lot of anxiety in my life. What can you recommend? Well, Rebecca, first of all, thanks for emailing me. I appreciate that. And yes, change is the one thing you can count on. Everything and everyone changes, and it is really pointless to pine for the past, and it's pointless to worry about the future. I know that's way easier said than done. Believe me, been there. I'm human. Well, we're all a work in progress. But I did come across this great article about anxiety, ways to deal with anxiety. And the first recommendation is get enough sleep. I worked morning drive radio for many years, which meant getting up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So sleep, I still worry about sleep. Sleep's still a big issue for me, even though I'm not working those hours anymore. But inconsistent sleep can have some serious consequences. It not only affects your physical health, but lack of sleep can also contribute to anxiety and feeling anxious. So you need a good 7 to 9 hours of sleep at night, and that will help you. Another way to deal with anxiety is smile. When work has got us down, it's just to take a break and smile. I will find myself doing that. It may sound silly, but I'll be thinking and my mind is racing. Then I'll stop, take a breath, and just smile. And it does give you a little break. And, if anything, it's exercising your cheek muscles. Another way to deal with anxiety, declutter the brain. A messy workspace can make it difficult to relax. And so take 15 minutes to tidy up your workspace, tidy up your home, 15 minutes. I find that I look around and sometimes you're blind to what's around you. And then you stop and go, how did this happen? Where'd all this stuff come from? So just take a few minutes every day to try to pick it up and declutter a little bit, and that'll help clear your mind and ease your anxiety. Another way to do that, one of my favorites, is express gratitude. Studies have found expressing gratitude can reduce anxiety even when you're well rested. So you can keep a journal. Some people wake up every morning and they say, what can I be grateful for today? Just to, before you jump out of bed and start thinking of everything you got to do and what's wrong with your life, just think what's right with your life. It can make a difference. Another way to reduce anxiety is to eat right. Eating more foods that contain nutrients such as vitamin B and omega-3s, plus some healthy whole grain carbohydrates and vitamin B are all linked to good mental health and help reduce symptoms of depression and anxiety. Learn to breathe, a useful tool to prevent panic attacks. The breath is a great maker of where your anxiety level is. Short, shallow breaths signify stress and anxiety to the brain and the body. So if you take some time to take some deep breaths, that can help reduce your anxiety. I read a book once about anxiety, and it was talking about your rain barrel. Visualize a rain barrel, and if it's full, if the rain is starting to pour out of the top, then you need to empty out the rain barrel and take some deep breaths. And if you just are aware during the day of how you're breathing, and see, that was not that. That was sort of stressful. You got to go even slower than that. Of course, another one, meditation, one of my favorite things, and meditation is relaxing. It increases the amount of gray matter in your brain, and it really rewires your body to stress less. And no one should be afraid of meditation. It's not, you're not, nothing bad is going to happen. You're going to just relax and clear your mind and take some deep breaths and maybe have a mantra. And what that mantra does is you're just focusing on that. Deepak Chopra tells us, so hum. That's, if you just so hum, then you're not thinking, I got a vacuum. Did I pay that bill? Where are my kids right? You're just thinking so hum, and you're breathing, and you're relaxing, and you're focusing on that. And I've got something coming up in a few minutes to help you relax as well, so make sure you listen for that. Play around. Kids and animals, people love their animals, and people love their kids, and just have fun with them. Just have some laughter in your life that will help de-stress you. And then plan ahead. This is something when I worked early morning and my kids were little, I never had the luxury of doing. But I have now found the more time I have to plan ahead and get organized, get things done early, then the calmer I am. If you can prep things or make things or line them up so you don't forget them. I'm not an organized person, but planning ahead has really helped reduce anxiety. So you're not running out the door at the last minute, you know, looking for things or trying to get things done. You've planned ahead. You've put what you need right by the door before you leave. And it really can make a difference in starting your day or any part of your day in reducing anxiety. Visualize or smell something positive and relaxing. Sometimes I just, when I'm at the dentist chair, I think about the beach, one of my favorite places to go. Or, and I love fresh flowers, so I will try to have fresh flowers around. Or just this morning, before I even started the show, I went outside and I have some flowers in my garden and I just smelled them, and it's relaxing, if that's what you like. And then hang out. This is just such the key to everything. Socializing, having friends, having people to connect with, and having a social life can make a big difference in how you feel and what you're doing and reducing anxiety and having a laugh and just not taking things too seriously. I want to tell you about something next week at this time. I'm super excited. I'm going to have an amazing guest, and I hope you can join us live. Maybe he'll take some questions. His name is Dr. Rudy Tanzi. He works at Harvard, and he wrote a book with Deepak Chopra called Super Brain. And it's just a way about using your brain for health and happiness and spiritual growth. You might be surprised to realize there hasn't been that much research on the brain until the last 10 or 20 years. And Dr. Rudy Tanzi is a leader in Alzheimer's, but he also has written that book with Deepak about, and he's open to using your brain. And one of his favorite phrases that I'll ask him about is people who were talking about anxiety is, tell your brain, are you using your brain or is your brain using you? That's one of the questions he asks a lot. And tell yourself, I'm okay right now, and all we have is right now. Tell yourself that I'm okay right now, and all we have is right now. That goes to about not worrying about the past or worrying about the future, just being in this moment. And program your brain to tell yourself, I'm okay right now, and all we have is right now. So Dr. Rudy Tanzi will be joining us at this time next week. And, of course, we will put the interview, archive it here on BodyMindSpiritRadio.com, and you can listen to it over and over again and tell all your friends to tune in. If you have something you want to talk about, what's on your mind, 646-378-0378. I would love to hear from you. It's all about connecting and sharing my life perspective and happiness and being in the moment and la-di-da, and if you think I'm full of it, tell me. I love to debate. But I have been there. I've been around the block. I've been through a lot of personal challenges, and this is how I've chosen to look at life and live life, and it's all perspective, and it's how you look at it. And as Wayne Dyer says, if you don't, you know, change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change. It's really all about how you see it. And I know that sounds simple. Believe me, I've been through many challenges, and life can be really difficult, and people can be really difficult. But, you know, don't take what they're saying personally, and love yourself, and be strong in your sense of self, and it'll all be okay. Speaking of which, I have these things called Lisa's Love Notes that I'm working on. And I've done another one. Yes, this is my second Lisa's Love Notes, and I'm going to play it for you right now. It's for morning, something to listen to when you wake up in the morning. So I'll play this right for you right now, and hopefully you will enjoy. Lisa's Love Notes, morning mind mending. You woke up today. That's a miracle. The sun has risen again. The birds are singing. Take a deep breath and tell yourself, this is going to be a great day. What miracles will happen today? How can I help someone else? Expect the best. See it happening. Feel what it feels like to experience what you are hoping for and what you want. Today is the day to be what you've always known you could be. Breathe. Take a deep breath. Dig down deep inside and feel good. Choose to be happy, no matter what comes your way today. Happiness comes from inside, and you can focus on all the good in your life. Have gratitude. What can you be thankful for today? Think of three things. Then breathe. Inhale slowly. Exhale with ease. Smile deep down inside yourself and look for the positive in everything you do and everything that happens. Today is a new day. Expect the best and bring, feel, share happiness from within. And that is Lisa's Love Notes. That's my second one. And if you would like to hear them, I've got a website, and you can follow Lisa's Love Notes on Twitter. It's at Lisa's Love Notes, capital L, apostrophe S, capital L for love, and capital N for notes, at Lisa's Love Notes on Twitter. And if you would like to email me, lisaloveberry@gmail.com, I can hook you up with Nancy Serlin, our parenting expert who was on today, or I can help you out, connect with you. I'm available to speak at your function. I can perform wedding services, ceremonies, whatever you would like. I loved doing the show, Today's Inspiration, to connect with you and to try to make a difference in the world and try to inspire people and share my love and laughter. And, so I'm available if you'd like to email lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at Lisa_Berry or Lisa's Love Notes. I appreciate you listening. As I said, next week's going to be a huge show. On July 2nd, Dr. Rudy Tanzi, who wrote the co-wrote the book Superbrain with Deepak Chopra, is going to be our guest. And I am very excited about that, and I hope you'll be here to listen. Until then, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you can find some love and happiness.